Assalamu alaikum and peace be with you. Welcome to this episode in the series of Muslim relations with Christian Jews and others. Today we'll be looking at the subject of Ahl al-Kitab, usually translated as people of the book, or people of an earlier revelation, or people of earlier scriptures before the Quran. I am your host, Muhammad Nuruddin Lemu, and with me to discuss this are two of our distinguished facilitators in subjects of interfaith dialogue and topics of this nature, Brother Ibrahim Bello and Brother Muhammad Jamil. You're both most welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
The first question I'd like to start, Brother Muhammad. Ahl al-Kitab. The Quran uses various terminologies for people of other faiths. We have mushrikun, we have Ahl al-Kitab, we have kuffar. Why do we need all this vocabulary, and why is it, you know, why do we have a special category called Ahl al-Kitab?
To Alhamdulillah, let me begin by saying, of course, to affirm that Allah Ta'ala used different names or different categorization for different persons, because each of these categories have got specific rules and certain injunctions that are prescribed or that are allowed with those categories, while it's not allowed for the other. So that those categorization is of very, very paramount importance, because with that you're able to know what to and what not to do or to say to one or the other person. Let's take an example of Ahl al-Kitab. Allah Ta'ala describes certain persons as a group of persons as Ahl al-Kitab because there are some injunctions. For instance, if you come to slaughtering or eating what was slaughtered by a non-Muslim in generality, Allah Ta'ala gave a categorization, like, of course, those who are Ahl al-Kitab, theirs is permitted for you to eat. Allah Ta'ala, if you look at issue of marriage as well, Allah Ta'ala will say in the Quran, وَلَا تُنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا وَالْعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. Do not marry your daughters to polytheists until they believe. For a servant who is a believer is far better for you to marry your daughter to than a polytheist. Of course, this is a clear injunction. But again, Allah Ta'ala would now permit you to marry from the daughters of the Ahl al-Kitab. So this categorization is there to give some categories of rules and laws that govern different persons. So, and generally, you will look at the Jews and the Christians are always given some preferential treatment. Of course, Allah Ta'ala, even when he's generalizing, calling those who are non-Muslims, he would still bring out this category to tell you that they have a special, like Allah Ta'ala, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. They didn't become disbelievers from among those who have been given earlier revelation and those who are polytheists until it became, of course, you know, they generally will say all of them are non-Muslim, but even with this, there's this categorization to just show you that, okay, there is a level of categorization that Islam has given. And this issue of Ahl al-Kitab is just making reference that these people have got, they are laying credence on a book that has been revealed by Allah in the past. While the mushrikun are people who are, in fact, they take to other deities apart from Allah, but they have a hold on a book that was revealed by Allah. Of course, Allah Ta'ala would said in the Quran, وَمَا مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. There wasn't any community except that Allah has sent a messenger or a prophet or a warner. And most of these prophets or messengers came with divine guidance, which are in form of books. So this categorization gave that opportunity for you to be able to place every category of these persons in their rightful position. Allahu alam.
So what you're saying is Allah has sent prophets to all nations. Yeah. Where we can clearly link a prophet with a people, those or a scripture that was revealed by Allah to a community, those communities were usually referred to as Ahl al-Kitab. Yeah. Where we don't have that connection and they have become clearly polytheists, worshipping idols, etc., those are mushrikun. Yeah. And this has legal implications when it comes to things like marriage, or the permissibility of what they slaughter. Ali Brian, what else could you add on this?
Yeah, also because sometimes the context of revelation dictates that they should be specified. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودُ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You will find those that held strongest enmity, hostility towards Islam are the Jew and the polytheists. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقَرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا نَصَارَى. And all that seek to be closer and show more love are those that say we are Nasara Christians. You see, in this verse, Allah identified three categories of non-Muslims. Mm. But based on the context, there is need for them to be identified into different categories. So this is a must, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. He can't just equate all of them. Similarly, Allah will still identify them sometimes as non-Muslims, but then he still believes that they are in categories. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Verily, those who believe, disbelieve. مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. From those people given the scripture, the people of earlier revelation, وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah is not praising them here, but he's telling you they are in categories. More so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this title as a honor. It's a honorary title. Just imagine somebody going to a marketplace to address a group of people who are mostly unlettered, uneducated. And you are making a point and you see somebody who you believe had education among them, siding with them or challenging them. You like say, are even you with your education? So that's the kind of honor Quran gave to them. So calling them Ahl al-Kitab, aside the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ascribing to them a scripture and divine guidance, but it's also a form of honor. So they are called Ahl al-Kitab in this context. Number one is a honor. Number two, the context of revelation dictates it to be so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, of course, some of them still get engaged in some sort of paganism, polytheism, because Allah will say, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا. Allah identify all that they do in Quran, but he still call them Ahl al-Kitab. So I think in the light of that, it is also better and safer, and in fact wiser, to also live with them with that name and titles.
This is interesting. What you're saying is, instead of just this big broad brush that sometimes you find within the Muslim community, oh, they're all kuffar, or they're all mushrikun. The Quran is more nuanced when it comes to your use of these terms, which we will look at more carefully. But that the word Ahl al-Kitab is actually an honorific title given to people, a community, especially here we have Jews, Christians, because of their connection with known prophets that have been confirmed by the Quran and the Sunnah. And the need for us not to be unjust by using teachings that apply to mushrikun and then saying you just apply to everybody when the Quran is very clear in its use of terminology. When we come to identifying these communities, because you know you did mention that sometimes you would see practices of people who we would say are Christians, but we would say, but you know, they worship Jesus, or their scriptures are not authentic. You know, all sorts of objections that some Muslims have raised to not recognizing these people as Ahl al-Kitab. So I'd like to start by asking, who exactly are the Ahl al-Kitab? I know we generally have Christians and Jews at the, usual suspects. But how do scholars define who qualifies to be called Ahl al-Kitab?
Yeah. Scholars look at it from this perspective. Number one, you have people that were given revelations earlier before Quran. This category of people qualify to be called Ahl al-Kitab. And that is what Quran means. Allah gave them that title as a honor, like we said earlier. Because when you call them Ahl al-Kitab, another thing it shows is that we share a common link with you, in that our scripture and yours have the same source. We have divine guidance. That is very useful in da'wah. And also, it's more buttressing your point. You are also Ahl al-Kitab, and they know it. Secondly, is a honor. Instead of calling them mushrikun, those who are pagans or the polytheists, Allah called them Ahl al-Kitab. But then, of Ahl al-Kitab, in the context of Quran, because Quran told us that most of the scriptures are lost, and that thousands of prophets were sent by God earlier, Quran referred to only two categories, the Jew and the Christian, Al-Yahud and Nasara. Not because others are not, but there is nothing to prove it from Quran and Sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ قَصَصْنَا مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ مَّنْ قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَّنْ لَمْ نَقَصُصَ عَلَيْكَ. That we sent a number of prophets, a good number of them we didn't tell you about them, some we told you about them. And the prophet in a hadith identified that over 124,000 prophets were sent by God. So while Ahl al-Kitab applied to those giving revelations earlier, in the context of Quran, only the Yahud and Nasara were referred. But of course, when we go literally again, Ahl al-Kitab, those giving scripture, whatever group they belong, as long as you can prove that they were given earlier revelation, they are Ahl al-Kitab. So to this effect, you have people like Imam Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, and Ibn Hazm, believing once you can prove that a community had a revelation before Quran, the Zoroastrians, the Buddhists, and a number of them, they also qualify to be called Ahl al-Kitab. More so, you have speculations that Buddhists, the Buddha now, okay, and the Socrates were prophets too. And so this group of people too could be referred to Ahl al-Kitab. But it's like a minority opinion. They are taking it more from literal perspective. So be it. Of course, scholars have their own evidence to back their thing, their discussion. But basically, in the light of Quran, only the Yahud and Nasara qualify to be called Ahl al-Kitab.
So what you are presenting is the fact that the Quran says Allah has sent prophets to all nations.
Yes.
So prophets were sent to all nations. Yes. The Quran also says some were mentioned, some of these prophets were mentioned.
Yeah.
In the Quran were mentioned to the Prophet, others were not mentioned.
Yeah.
To the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Some scholars view Ahl al-Kitab in a literal sense.
Yes.
And you've mentioned scholars like Ibn Hazm, and others who hold that opinion, that Ahl al-Kitab refers to any community that is associated with a scripture, any community that is probably one of those communities that was sent a prophet in the past.
No.
And to this, you have added not just the Jews and the Christians, who we are sure about, but other communities that have not been mentioned in the Quran, but who scholars like, I think, Rashid Rida, a number of others, speculate that Buddhists are also Ahl al-Kitab. I think al-Biruni also mentions Hindus, at least the Brahmins, as qualified to be Ahl al-Kitab, that Rama and Krishna were probably prophets of God whose people started to worship them later on. So there has been a diversity of opinions among scholars on the identity of Ahl al-Kitab, some playing it safe, others being more open. What else, Brother Jamil, could you add to this discussion?
Yeah, it's important to also note that, like Malam Ibrahim said, some categorically are mentioned, but others are not mentioned. But like he said, scholars have the opinion of the opinion that as long as it can be traced, like the Hindus who say they have the weather, their book. So some are saying, of course, because they lay claim to a book and they said it is revealed by God, then they are Ahl al-Kitab as well. But in any case, whatever it is, every human being is created with certain dignity and respect by Allah Ta'ala. And some children of Adam are supposed to be respected equally, not minding what they profess. Because if you do not, then you will be going contrary to what Quran has enshrined. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ وَالْبَرِّ. Now Allah Ta'ala says, we have dignified the son of Adam and we have giving him an abode in the sea or on the land. Now, if you want to now say, because that person is not Ahlul Kitab. In fact, the first question is, how sure are you he's not? Or how sure are you she is not? If she likely, because she's not a Jew, she's not a Christian, or he's not a Jew, he's not a Christian, does not really disqualify him completely. So what you do to play safe is to obey the injunction of Quran and then follow the instructions clearly that Allah has dignified and respected every human being. Give that respect. Do not be unfair. Do not be unjust. Treat persons with their respect as your fellow. Like Sayyidina Ali would say, everybody is your brother. It's either your brother in faith or your brother in humanity. So if you look at a person and say, we're not of the same faith, fine, but you are of the same creature. Then you are a child of Adam or among the children of Adam. So that respect should be there. So it is not, of course, it's honorary, like you said, but even those who are not clearly stated as that are also supposed to be respected. But of course, it is true that there are some that are unclear and it's doubtful to be said as Ahlul Kitab, no matter how much claim they lay. But that does not mean that they should be treated with disdain. Allah, Allah.
This is very useful. So what we have seen here is that there has been a diversity of opinion among our classical scholars regarding the identity of this category called Ahlul Kitab. Mm. Some have gone literally, that any community with a scripture before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and have added to it Sabians and Zoroastrians and a number of others. Others have been more conservative to be on the safer side, to look at what has clearly been mentioned, what we have no doubt about Jews and Christians, and that's the majority opinion among scholars. But then, as you've mentioned, just because a group is Ahlul Kitab, or another group is doubtful, or maybe another group is even not Ahlul Kitab, it doesn't mean you disrespect or you dishonor another person just based on their faith. I'd like us to now move on Ahlul Kitab, that everybody seems to agree with, Jews and Christians. We, however, do have Muslims who would say the Jews and Christians of today are not Ahlul Kitab, or they should not be regarded as Ahlul Kitab. The Jews and Christians of today believe, the Christians believe in the Trinity, or at least most of them would believe in the Trinity. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. Quran says Jesus is not the begotten Son. Allah doesn't beget, nor is he begotten. They say Jesus was crucified. The Quran says he was neither killed nor was he crucified. It was made to appear to them so. The Quran says they have tampered with their scriptures. In other words, the revelation that this is not the pristine revelation God gave Jesus or Moses. Some have many reasons to say we cannot continue to describe the Jews and Christians of today as Ahlul Kitab, and therefore saying that you can eat of their food because the Quran says so, this is not that audience. You can marry their women, this is not that audience. These are now mushrikun. How would you respond to that?
Okay, of course, what you have said is not new. Of course, even within the scholars, you will have people who hold this opinion. But the majority opinion remains that it is not a racial thing. The identity is about faith. Once you lay claim to that faith, then you belong to that same group. Therefore, the opinion, and that's the majority opinion, that present day Jews and Christians are Ahlul Kitab. There is no any clear evidence in the Quran or in the Sunnah that will say there is a time, maybe after a certain period of years or so, there will be no more Ahlul Kitab, there will be no more original, let me use that word, original Christian, original Jews. Therefore, at that time, it would have been over. No, the verse is there in the Quran. It's continued until eternity. So therefore, it is not true, wholly, that the present-day Christians and Jews are not Ahlul Kitab. And you mentioned a lot of issues that maybe the scholars that are saying they are not hold on to, that they have changed a lot of things. They have even corrupted their books and the rest. Their books are corrupted and the rest. Of course, it is true. But is it beginning now? Or is does it start only after the prophet? No. In fact, there is a clear verse of the Quran that was revealed to Prophet Sallam, where Allah Ta'ala is calling, and he began by Ya Ahl al Kitab, La Taglu fi dinukum, wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al haq. Innama Allahu ilahun wahid. Oh, you people of the book, that's where we should lay emphasis. He called them Ya Ahl al Kitab. Oh, you people of the book, La Taglu fi dinukum, do not go to extreme. Do not transgress the boundary in your religion. وَلَا تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ And do not say anything about Allah or on Allah except that which is true. Certainly, your God is one. Saying that they've been saying that God is more than one. And Allah is calling their attention, come back to one God. But he still called them Ahlul Kitab. He didn't change their name.
So in spite of the belief
in spite
Trinity,
of the belief in Trinity, Allah Ta'ala confirmed in the Quran that the Nasara says Masih ibn Allah. And the Yahud say Uzair ibn Allah. Then Allah says Allah, Dhalika qawluhum bi afwahihim. This is just a mere statement of theirs. Again, that is already there in the Quran, but yet Allah still refers to them as Ahl al-Kitab. So these changes and changes and introductions of these issues that have been raised by scholars is not new. It was there even at the time of the revelation, but Allah still maintained that as their status. So all of this does not negate their position that they are Ahl al-Kitab, because like we said, the Ahl al-Kitab thing is a honor given to them because they hold on to a book that was revealed before the advent of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the Quran. And since that status is still there and they still hold, if somebody say, I am no longer a Christian, I am now with no religion or I'm an idol worshipper, then that person takes himself out of Ahl al-Kitab. But as long as he says or she said, I'm a Christian, then she remains or he remains at Ahl al-Kitab.
Ryan, what would you add?
Just like you said earlier, it is about faith and belief, not about generation. Claiming that Ahl al-Kitab don't exist today would have been the same. Like saying, other than those that live with the Prophet, nobody is qualified to be called Ya Ayyuhallazina Amanu. Yeah. Because you tie it to a generation, you just try to draw a line in history, which is not the truth. There are other verses of Quran will become irrelevant once somebody make that claim immediately. Allah say, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْ. Usually injunctions like this in Quran are meant to outlive the Prophet and the time it was revealed. Say, oh you the people of the book, let's come to a common term. More so, there are hadiths of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that shows that Ahl al-Kitab will live till the end of time. Ibn al-Qayyim argues passionately that for somebody to disbelieve that Ahl al-Kitab are not existing is challenging. It's more an Aqidah issue, he's even saying. Also, you have return of Jesus, and that is going to challenge the existing Ahl al-Kitab that time, those who are claiming divinity or his sonship. Also, when we come to the books of fiqh, most of these debates and the rulings on marrying to Ahl al-Kitab, eating their food, would have been of no use. So in reality, Ahl al-Kitab exists, and irrespective of where they live, whatever their skin color, as long as they ascribe to the same faith, they are Ahl al-Kitab. Because like it was buttressed earlier, there is nothing they say now that they're just beginning to say. They have said that earlier. So in essence, Ahl al-Kitab still exists. And the same Ahl al-Kitab today are the same that with those that were addressed 1,400 years ago in the Quran. Yes, sir.
So as you mentioned earlier, just to wrap up on this, there have been those who I know have said Ahl al-Kitab in the Quran, the Jews, the Christians were Banu Israel, were children of Israel. Our contemporary Jews in Nigeria, in different parts of the world, are not Banu Israel. But what we find out, as you've mentioned, if you look at the Sirah, because there's nothing new about this topic, We had people like Salman al-Farisi. Yes. We had
An-Najashi.
An-Najashi, who was from Ethiopia. Yeah. We have had others who were considered Ahl al-Kitab, Coptics of Egypt who were considered Ahl al-Kitab, people who were considered Ahl al-Kitab who were not Banu Israel. And the Prophet recognized that.
Yeah.
And the Sahaba recognized that, them as Ahl al-Kitab. And the Tabi'in, the generation after the companions, and the next generation.
And in fact, it's all, now that you mentioned Najashi, one thing just came quickly back. When the companions migrated to Abyssinia under his leadership, and Abu Sufyan and the rest followed them, one of the things they wanted to use against the Muslims were that they told Najashi that they used to say terrible things about your Jesus. Mm. And he said, what does your Quran say about the Jesus? And they write. He said, oh, it's similar. But that means Abu Sufyan understand that they hold that Jesus as a divine being and the rest. But they clearly say, okay, this was what our Quran say. Quran talked about the miraculous battle of him and this, and he's a prophet, this, all of this. That means even at then, they were still saying all of these things, and the claim of Trinity and the rest was already in existence. That is a clear example of one of it, and that Prophet sent his people to him, and he said, you are going to your brother who is a just king in the Susul land. Allah Alam.
Alhamdulillah. And I think, you know, just the points you've both mentioned, that the belief in the Trinity, the belief in the sonship of Jesus, some of those Jewish groups that believe that Ezra or Uzair is a son of God, all of these beliefs are not new. They've been mentioned in the Quran, and yet the Prophet still regarded them as Ahl al-Kitab. The Sahaba regarded them as Ahl al-Kitab, and generations of scholars continued in their books, as you've already mentioned, in discussing, can you eat this food, and do they need to slaughter in it in a particular way? Do they need to mention Allah's name, etc.? Generations of classical scholars have recognized the existence of Ahl al-Kitab in Muslim communities right until today, and as you've mentioned, right until the Day of Judgment, we will have Ahl al-Kitab. In other words, there's very little doubt that the Jews and the Christians we have of today are Ahl al-Kitab because of their relationship with Jesus, peace be upon him, or in the case of the Jews, with Moses, peace be upon him. Thank you so much for this enlightening discussion. Hopefully, inshallah, we'll continue on another topic next time. Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. Thank you, Brother Jamil. Until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.